The One Body, Different But Not Divided, from April 2011, by Michael Blue. For as the body is one, and hath many members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. Icor 12:12. God the God of Abraham, of Moses, of David, of Peter, and of Paul is the one and only God. And yet, within God's one and onlyness, there is plurality. Whether one uses the term persons or the term manifestations, no one can deny that there are distinctions in the Godhead. The same God is one in essence, yet triune in existence. Moreover, the function of the Father, the Son and Holy Spirit, in creation and in redemption are different. But they are He is definitely not divided. There is absolute unanimity in complete agreement and harmony within the Godhead. Each believer is an expression of the nature and power of God. Yet no one Christian can fully portray Him. Neither can a single group of Christians, whether a congregation, a denomination, an organization, or a reformation. He is too big for any man-made box. Moses' tabernacle and Solomon's temple were inadequate to house Him in ancient times. Even so, the structures of this present day cannot contain Him now. He is not merely multifaceted. Our God is omnifaceted. And yet, there is a mystery waiting to unfold. Herein lies the mystery. Together and only together there is a people who can express Him. These people comprise a body of called out ones. They are born again and anointed to represent Christ to the world. They are the sons of God, the Church. And even as God is one, with distinctions within His oneness, the Church is called to be one in Him. Nevertheless, each believer is called to exhibit some unique portion of the manifold omnifaceted grace of God. Paul uses the imagery of the human body to depict the relationship between 1, the believer and Christ, and 2, the believer and other believers. He uses the term member, which simply means body part, organ, limb, joint, tissue, etc. Notice some principles about body parts. Principle IA: body part's function has no purpose outside the context of the whole body. Of what use is an eye that sees or an ear that hears, unless each organ serves to govern, guide, guard, and support a body? Even so, the believer must understand that his unique gifts and aptitudes have no purpose if they do not serve to edify the body of Christ. Principle 2: a member misplaced or detached leads to trauma and dysfunction. If a part of a body is out of alignment or is separated from the body, the entire body is deficient. Pain, strain, even shock may result. Even so, when a member of the body of Christ presumes upon an office to which God did not assign him or her misplacement, or if that member withdraws into isolation detachment, the body of Christ is confused, traumatized and crippled. Principle 3: body parts are different by necessity and design. Paul teaches that if all the members were the same, or had the same function office, there would be no body, only a collection of parts. He teaches that diversity is an essential thing, a good thing, a beneficial thing in a body. A body has many needs and carries many responsibilities. This necessitates many differing systems within one organism. Even so, in order to serve the vast array of needs that exist in the body of Christ and in the world of mankind at large, there must be different offices, different gifts, different anointing, different fellowships, different callings, collaborating to manifest Christ in the 21st century. Principle 4: the functions of a body are never competitive. They are all interdependent and complementary. Anytime a cell or organ of a body begins to operate against the rest of the body, if it cannot be treated, it is severed or the whole body will die. Among the members of the body of Christ, the same must be understood. We need one another. We wrestle against the flesh, the world, and the devil, not the church across town. A house divided against itself cannot stand, and God Himself will judge those who divide His body. Believers are not called to compete with one another, but to complete one another. And finally, Jesus stated that the Father always honored His prayers. If this is true, and it is, we may fully expect that the Father honored His prayer, His high priestly prayer found in John chapter 17. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on Me through their word, that they all may be one. As Thou, Father, art in Me, and I in Thee, that they also may be one in Us, that the world may believe that Thou hast sent Me. And the glory which Thou gavest Me I have given them, that they may be one, even as We are one, I in them, and Thou in Me, that they may be made perfect in one. And that the world may know that Thou hast sent Me, and hast loved them, as Thou hast loved Me. This petition of Christ shall be answered, and when it is, the whole world will finally have the incontrovertible proof that God sent Jesus. It shall be proven through a people who are different, but not divided. May God grant that, in this generation, you and I shall become the Father's answer to Jesus' prayer. Amen.